Introduction. Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna, Raksamam Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna, Pahimam Rama, Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Raksamam Krishna, Kesava, Krishna, Kesava, Krishna, Kesava, Pahimam, Chaitanya, Karitamrta, Madhya 7, 9, 6. While attempting to write this book, Krishna, let me first offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, Om Visnupada, 108, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Goswami Maharaja Prabhupada. Then let me offer my respectful obeisances to the ocean of mercy, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, appearing in the role of a devotee just to distribute the highest principles of devotional service. Lord Chaitanya began his preaching from the country known as Gaudadesa, West Bengal. And as I belong to the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, I must therefore offer my respectful obeisances to the disciplic succession of that name. This Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya is also known as the Brahma Sampradaya, because the disciplic succession originally began from Brahma. Brahma instructed the sage Narada, Narada instructed Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva instructed Madhva Muni or Madhvakarya. Sri Madhavendra Puri, the originator of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, was a sannyasi, renunciant, who belonged to the Madhvakarya disciplic succession. He had many renowned disciples, such as Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and Iswara Puri. Iswara Puri happened to be the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us offer our respectful obeisances to Iswara Puri. Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, Srivasa Pandita, and Sri Gadadhara Pandita. Next, let us offer our respectful obeisances to Swarupa Damodara, who acted as the private secretary to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and let us offer our respectful obeisances to Sri Vasudeva Datta, and the constant attendant of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Govinda, and the constant friend of Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda, and also to Murari Gupta. And let us offer our respectful obeisances to the six Goswamis of Vrindavana, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami, Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Raghunatha Dasa Goswami. Krishna himself has explained in the Bhagavad Gita that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that whenever there are discrepancies in the regulative principles of man's religious life and a prominence of irreligious activities, he appears on this earthly planet. In other words, when Lord Sri Krishna appeared, there was a necessity of minimizing the load of sinful activities accumulated on this planet or in this universe. For affairs of the material creation, Lord Mahavishnu, the plenary portion of Krishna, is in charge. Thus, when the Lord descends, the incarnation emanates from Vishnu. Mahavishnu is the original cause of the material creation, and from him Garbhodakasai Vishnu expands, and then Kshirodakasai Vishnu. Generally, all the incarnations appearing within this material universe are plenary expansions from Kshirodakasai Vishnu. Therefore, the business of minimizing the overload of sinful activities on this earth does not belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. But when Krishna appears, all the Vishnu expansions join with him. Krishna's different expansions, namely Narayana, the quadruple expansion of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Anirudh, as well as partial plenary expansions like Matsya, the incarnation of a fish, and the Yuga Avataras, incarnations for the millennium, and the Manvantara Avataras, incarnations associated with the reigns of the Manas, all combine together and appear with the body of Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the complete whole, and thus, all plenary expansions and incarnations always live with him. Therefore, when Krishna appeared, Lord Vishnu was with him. Krishna actually appears in order to demonstrate his Vrindavana pastimes, and in this way attract the fortunate conditioned souls and invite them back home, back to Godhead. The killing of the demons in Vrindavana was carried out only by the Vishnu portion of Krishna. The Lord's abode is described in the Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter 20th verse, where it is stated that there is another, eternal nature, the spiritual sky, which is transcendental to this manifested and non-manifested matter. The manifested world can be seen in the form of many stars and planetary systems, such as the sun and moon. But beyond this, there is a non-manifested portion, which is not approachable by anyone in this body. And beyond that non-manifested matter is the spiritual kingdom. That kingdom is described in the Bhagavad Gita as supreme and eternal, never to be annihilated. This material nature is subjected to repeated creation and annihilation. But that part, the spiritual nature, remains as it is eternally. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is also described in the Brahma Samhita as the abode of Chintamani. That abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavana, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There the trees are called desire trees, and the cows are called Surabhi. The Lord is served there by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. His name is Govinda, the primeval Lord, and he is the cause of all causes. There the Lord plays his flute, his eyes are like lotus petals, and the color of his body is like that of a beautiful cloud. On his head is a peacock feather. He is so attractive that he excels thousands of cupids. Lord Krishna gives only a little hint in the Gita of his personal abode, which is the supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna actually appears with all his paraphernalia and demonstrates his activities in Vrindavana, then at Mathura, and then at Dwaraka. The subject matter of this book will gradually reveal all these activities. The family in which Krishna appeared is called the Yadu dynasty. This Yadu dynasty belongs to the family descending from Soma, the god in the moon planet. There are two different Kshatriya families of the royal order, one descending from the king of the moon planet, and the other descending from the king of the sun planet. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he generally appears in a Kshatriya family because he has to establish religious principles or the life of righteousness. The Kshatriya family is the protector of the human race according to the Vedic system. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramakandra, he appeared in the family descending from the sun god, known as the Raghu Vamsa, and when he appeared as Lord Krishna, he did so in the family known as the Yadu Vamsa. There is a long list of the kings of the Yadu Vamsa in the 9th canto 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. All of them were great powerful kings. Krishna's father's name was Vasudeva, son of Surasena, descending from the Yadu dynasty. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not belong to any dynasty of this material world. But the family in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears becomes famous by his grace. For example, sandalwood is produced in the states of Malaya. Sandalwood has its own qualifications apart from Malaya, but because accidentally this wood is mainly produced in the states of Malaya, it is known as Malayan sandalwood. Similarly, Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead belongs to everyone, but just as the sun rises from the east, although there are other directions from which it could rise, so by his own choice the Lord appears in a particular family, and that family becomes famous. As explained above, when Krishna appears, all his plenary expansions appear with him. Krishna appeared along with Balarama, Baladeva, who is known as his elder brother. Balarama is the origin of Sankarsana, of the quadruple expansion. Balarama is also the plenary expansion of Krishna. In this book, the attempt will be made to show how Krishna appeared in the family of the Yadu dynasty and how he displayed his transcendental characteristics. This is very vividly described in Srimad Bhagavatam specifically. The 10th canto, and thus the basis of this book will be the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The pastimes of the Lord are generally heard and relished by liberated souls. Those who are conditioned souls are interested in reading stories of the material activities of some common man. Although similar narrations describing the transcendental activities of the Lord are found in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas, the conditioned souls still prefer to study ordinary narrations. They are not so interested in studying the narrations of the pastimes of the Lord Krishna. And yet the descriptions of the pastimes of Lord Krishna are so attractive that they are relishable for all classes of men. There are three classes of men in this world. One class consists of liberated souls, another consists of those who are trying to be liberated, and the third consists of materialistic men. Whether one is liberated or is trying to be liberated, or is even grossly materialistic, the pastimes of Lord Krishna are worth studying. Liberated souls have no interest in materialistic activities. The impersonalist theory that after liberation one becomes inactive and need not hear anything does not prove that a liberated person is actually inactive. A living soul cannot be inactive. He is active either in the conditioned state or in the liberated state. A diseased person, for example, is also active, but his activities are all painful. The same person, when freed from the diseased condition, is still active, but in the healthy condition, the activities are full of pleasure. Similarly, the impersonalists only seek to get free from the diseased, conditioned activities, but they have no information of activities in the healthy condition. Those who are actually liberated and in full knowledge take to hearing the activities of Krishna. Such engagement is pure spiritual activity. It is essential for persons who are actually liberated to hear about the pastimes of Krishna. That is the supreme relishable subject matter for one in the liberated state. Also, if persons who are trying to be liberated hear such narrations as the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then their path of liberation becomes very clear. The Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam. By studying the Gita, one becomes fully conscious of the position of Lord Krishna. And when he is situated at the lotus feet of Krishna, he understands the narrations of Krishna as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Kaitanya has therefore advised his followers that their business is to propagate Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha means narrations about Krishna. There are two Krishna Kathas, narration spoken by Krishna and narration spoken about Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is the narration or the philosophy on the science of God, spoken by Krishna himself. Srimad Bhagavatam is the narration about the activities and transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Both are Krishna Katha. It is the order of Lord Kaitanya that Krishna Katha should be spread all over the world. Because if the conditioned souls, suffering under the pangs of material existence, take to Krishna Katha, then their path of liberation will be open and clear. The purpose of presenting this book is primarily to induce people to understand Krishna or Krishna Katha, because thereby they can become freed from material bondage. This Krishna Katha will also be very much appealing to the most materialistic persons, because Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, cowherd girls, are exactly like the loving affairs between young girls and boys within this material world. Actually, the sex feeling found in human society is not unnatural, because this same sex feeling is there in the original personality of Godhead. The pleasure potency is called Srimati Radharani. The attraction of loving affairs on the basis of sex feeling is the original feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we, the conditioned souls, being part and parcel of the Supreme, have such feelings also. But they are experienced within a perverted, minute condition. Therefore, when those who are after sex life in this material world hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, they will relish transcendental pleasure, although it appears to be materialistic. The advantage will be that they will gradually be elevated to the spiritual platform. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that if one hears the pastimes of Lord Krishna with the gopis, from authorities, with submission, then he will be promoted to the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord, and the material disease of lust within his heart will be completely vanquished. In other words, such hearing will counteract material sex life. This book, Krishna, which is filled with Krishna Katha, will thus appeal equally to the liberated souls and to persons who are trying to be liberated, as well as to the gross, conditioned materialist. According to the statement of Maharaja Pariksit, who heard about Krishna from Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna Katha is equally applicable to every human being, whatever condition of life he is in. Surely everyone will appreciate it to the highest magnitude. But Maharaja Pariksit also warned that persons who are simply engaged in killing animals and in killing themselves may not be very much attracted to Krishna Katha. In other words, ordinary persons who are following the regulative moral principles of scriptures, no matter in what condition they are found, will certainly be attracted, but not persons who are killing themselves. The exact word used in Srimad Bhagavatam is pasughana, which means one who is killing animals or killing himself. Persons who are not self-realized and who are not interested in spiritual realization are killing themselves. They are committing suicide. Because this human form of life is especially meant for self-realization, by neglecting this important part of his activities, one simply wastes his time like the animals. So he is a pasughana. The other meaning of the word refers to those who are actually killing animals. This means persons who are animal eaters, even dog eaters, for they are all engaged in killing animals in so many ways, such as hunting and opening slaughterhouses. Such persons cannot be interested in Krishna Katha. King Pariksit was especially interested in hearing Krishna Katha, because he knew that his forefathers, particularly his grandfather Arjuna, were victorious in the great battle of Kurukshetra only because of Krishna. We may also take this material world as a battlefield of Kurukshetra. Everyone is struggling hard for existence on this battlefield, and at every step there is danger. According to Maharaja Pariksit, the battlefield of Kurukshetra was just like a vast ocean full of dangerous animals. His grandfather Arjuna had to fight with such great heroes as Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and many others who were not ordinary fighters. Such warriors have been compared to the Taimingala fish in the ocean. The Taimingala fish can very easily swallow up big whales. The great fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra could swallow many Arjunas very easily, but simply due to Krishna's mercy, Arjuna was able to kill all of them. Just as one can cross with no exertion over the little bit of water contained in the hoof print of a calf, so Arjuna, by the grace of Krishna, was able to very easily jump over the ocean of the battle of Kurukshetra. Maharaja Pariksit very much appreciated Krishna's activities for many other reasons. Not only was his grandfather saved by Krishna, but he himself also was saved by Krishna. By the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, all the members of the Kuru dynasty, both the sons and grandsons on the side of Dhritarashtra, and those on the side of the Pandavas, had died in the fighting. Except the five Pandava brothers, everyone died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Maharaja Parikshit was at that time within the womb of his mother. His father Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna, also died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And so Maharaja Parikshit was a posthumous child. When he was in the womb of his mother, a Brahmastra weapon was released by Aswatthama to kill the child. When Parikshit Maharaja's mother, Uttara, approached Krishna, Krishna, seeing the danger of abortion, entered her womb as the super soul and saved Maharaja Parikshit. Maharaja Parikshit's other name is Visnurata, because he was saved by Lord Vishnu himself while still within the womb. Thus everyone, in any condition of life, should be interested in hearing about Krishna and his activities, because he is the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. He is all-pervading, inside he is living within everyone's heart, and outside he is living as his universal form, and yet, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, he appears as he is in the human society, just to invite everyone to his transcendental abode, back home, back to Godhead. Everyone should be interested in knowing about Krishna, and this book is presented with this purpose, that people may know about Krishna and be perfectly benefited in this human form of life. In the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Baladeva is described as the son of Rohini, a wife of Vasudeva. Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, had 16 wives and one of them was Rohini, the mother of Baladeva. But Baladeva is also described as the son of Devaki, so how could he be the son of both Devaki and Rohini? This was one of the questions put by Maharaja Parikshit to Sukadeva Goswami, and it will be answered in due course. Maharaja Parikshit also asked Sukadeva Goswami, why Shri Krishna, just after his appearance as the son of Vasudeva, was immediately carried to the house of Nanda Maharaja in Vrindavana Gokula. He also wanted to know what the activities of Lord Krishna were while he was in Vrindavana and while he was in Mathura. Besides that, he was especially inquisitive to know why Krishna killed his maternal uncle Kamsa. Kamsa, being the brother of his mother, was a very intimate superior to Krishna, so how was it that he killed Kamsa? Also, Maharaja Parikshit asked how many years Lord Krishna remained in human society, how many years he reigned over the kingdom of Dwaraka, and how many wives he accepted there. A Kshatriya king is generally accustomed to accept more than one wife, therefore Maharaja Parikshit also inquired about his number of wives. The subject matter of this book is Sukadeva Goswami's answering of these and other questions asked by Maharaja Parikshit. The position of Maharaja Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami is unique. Maharaja Parikshit is the right person to hear about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, and Sukadeva Goswami is the right person to describe them. If such a fortunate combination is made possible, then Krishna Katha immediately becomes revealed, and people may benefit to the highest possible degree from such a conversation. This narration was presented by Sukadeva Goswami when Maharaja Parikshit was prepared to give up his body, fasting on the bank of the Ganges. In order to assure Sukadeva Goswami that by hearing Krishna Katha, he would not feel tired, Maharaja Parikshit expressed himself very frankly. Hunger and thirst may give trouble to ordinary persons, or to me, but the topics of Krishna are so nice that one can continue to hear them without feeling tired, because such hearing situates one in the transcendental position. It is understood that one must be very fortunate to hear Krishna Katha as seriously as Maharaja Parikshit did. He was especially intent on the subject matter because he was expecting death at any moment. Every one of us should be conscious of death at every moment. This life is not at all assured. At any time one can die. It does not matter whether one is a young man or an old man. So before death takes place, we must be fully Krishna conscious. At the point of his death, King Parikshit was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. When King Parikshit expressed his untiring desire to hear about Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami was very much pleased. Sukadeva was the greatest of all Bhagavata reciters, and thus he began to speak about Krishna's pastimes, which destroy all inauspiciousness in this age of Kali. Sukadeva Goswami thanked the king for his eagerness to hear about Krishna, and he encouraged him by saying, "My dear king, your intelligence is very keen because you are so eager to hear about the pastimes of Krishna." He informed Maharaja Parikshit that hearing and chanting the pastimes of Krishna are so auspicious that the processes purify the three varieties of men involved. He who recites the transcendental topics of Krishna, he who hears such topics, and he who inquires about him. These pastimes are just like the Ganges water, which flows from the toe of Lord Vishnu. They purify the three worlds, the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems.